وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
إسلام 101.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. Welcome to another episode of Islam 101, the basics and the fundamentals of the religion of Islam. For the one who wants to practice the religion of Islam and he wants to practice it correctly. This is what this program is all about, where we try to give a clear and concise understanding and explanation of what the basic tenets of the religion of Islam happen to be. Today we want to speak about another very important issue, and that is the issue that is centered around the second most important personality in the whole religion of Islam after Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And that is the illustrious and the beautiful and the beloved personality of his best friend, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. May Allah be pleased with him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, it should be understood, is, according to the Muslim religion, the best human being, the best human being from the descendants of Adam after the prophets and the messengers. The only people who are better than Abu Bakr are the prophets and the messengers that Allah sent respectively to their community. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he was the first person to embrace the religion of Islam from the adult men. When Prophet Muhammad started to encourage and invite the people to the religion, many of the people rejected his call and they said that he was a liar, with the exception of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was a person of virtue, a person of fadl. And people of virtue, they recognize and they know other people of virtues. So when Rasulullah invited him to the religion, he was quick to embrace it. And that's why later on, when the Muslim community began to develop itself, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a misunderstanding with Umar. And the misunderstanding led to some harsh words being said by both of them. So Abu Bakr became upset and he went home. Umar, after that incident, became sorry for what he did. So he went to the home of Abu Bakr in order to apologize. Abu Bakr didn't open the door for Umar. So Umar left the house of Abu Bakr and he went to Rasulullah's sitting, the company of Rasulullah, where he was with the rest of his companions. And then Abu Bakr started to come on his own to Rasulullah. Umar started to complain to Rasulullah, "Ya Rasulullah, me and Abu Bakr, we had a misunderstanding and this is what transpired, and then I went to ask his forgiveness and his permission to allow me to come in to ask him for his forgiveness, and he didn't open up the door." Rasulullah was looking at Abu Bakr as he was walking to his area. Rasulullah said to Umar and to the rest of the companions, "Hal antum tariku li sahibi? Why don't you people leave alone my companion? Why do you people bother Abu Bakr? Verily, I came to you people and I called you to Islam and you said that I was a liar. You said that I was a liar." Whereas Abu Bakr believed in me right away. Abu Bakr helped me with his property, with his person, and he married me to his daughter. So Abu Bakr's virtues in the religion is indisputable. The companions were made to be felt by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He made each and every individual feel that he loved him more than the next person. So the companions begin to argue amongst themselves. This one would say, "Rasulullah loves me more than you." That man would say, "No, he loves me more than you." Because that's how he made everyone feel. I don't know a human being who has the ability to do that. Rasulullah, when he interfaced and interacted with other people, he made everyone feel that that person was the most important person to him. To the point that all of the companions begin to argue with each other. "I'm the most beloved. I'm the most beloved." So they said, "Let's go to him and let's ask him. Let's ask him ourselves." So everyone thought that when they asked him the question, Ya Rasulullah, who's the most beloved person to you? Everyone thought that he was going to say, you are. When they asked him that question, he said, Aisha. She's the most beloved. My wife. Now, that's natural. So the companion said, no, we don't mean from your family, from your wife. We understand that. We mean from the men. He said, then her father is the most beloved person to me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a tremendous personality in the religion of Islam. He's a person who has been mentioned in a number of ayahs, even of the Quran. Is your name mentioned in the Quran? Did Allah make reference to you in the Quran? Allah has made reference to Abu Bakr in a number of ayat in the Quran, mashallah. And that will be the case until Yawm al-Qiyamah, right? The tremendous circumstance that is known as the Hijra, the migration, where Rasulullah left Mecca and he went to al-Medina. Who was his companion? His companion in the Hijra was Abu Bakr. And it was divinely revealed, and Rasulullah was inspired to take as a companion Abu Bakr. The rest of the companions, he gave them permission. You leave at different intervals and at different times. But Abu Bakr was given permission by Allah Azza wa Jal to make the hijrah to Al-Madinah with Rasulullah. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, you Muslims, if you don't want to help Muhammad spread his religion, defend his religion, be Muslims, holding on to this religion, if you don't want to do that, verily Allah helped him and Allah will continue to help him. Allah helped him in the circumstance when the disbelievers expelled him from Mecca, when he was one of two in the cave. Who was the one of two in the cave? Rasulullah, along with his companion, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Concerning Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, brothers and sisters in al-Islam, this is a tremendous issue here, and the body gets goosebumps, and the hair on your head stands on end once you know the reality of this tremendous man and his position in the scales. Bring forth to me any personality in this world today, Bill Gates, anyone you can think of from the major personalities. They do not compare to the personality of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is in the scale, and that person is like a feather in the other scale. What about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? From the tremendous position of Abu Bakr is that he is one of the few companions, if not the only companion, who all of his family members embrace the religion of Al-Islam. His father, Abu Quhafa, became a Muslim when he was an old man. Abu Bakr's mother became a Muslim. All of Abu Bakr's children became Muslim. All of Abu Bakr's wives became Muslims. Everyone connected to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became a Muslim. Some of us, we embrace the religion of Islam, and our parents don't come into the religion. Sometimes our wives or our husbands don't come into the religion. Abu Bakr, can you imagine? The man was such a good man that the people who were around him and who were closest to him trusted him so much and trusted his judgment so much that when he embraced the religion of Islam, he was khair, or good, for everyone who was connected to him. So therefore, the Muslim has to understand that Abu Bakr, from amongst all of the companions, if someone asks you, which companion do you love the most? You should say Abu Bakr, because it's the sunnah. Many people will say Umar, because he was a strong man. He was a warrior. He had the furusiya. He was a warrior. A person to say Ali. Ali was a tough man. He was strong. Nah. Who do you love the most? The Muslim man and the Muslim woman should say Abu Bakr, because it's the sunnah. He's the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam loved the most. During the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah, when the Prophet became sick and the time of the Salat approached and it was time to make the Salat, the Prophet commanded the companions to choose Abu Bakr in order to lead the people in the Salat. His daughter Aisha was discussing the issue with some of the other women folk from the household of Rasulullah. And they were trying to figure out someone else who should be chosen. And they were delaying the command of Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, choose Abu Bakr and let him be the one who leads the Salat. They said, Ya Rasulullah, when Abu Bakr leads the Salat, we can barely hear him because he cries so much from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Salat. Again, a clear indication of the taqwa, the level of God consciousness that Abu Bakr had, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the imminent death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was dying, he told the people, close all of the doors of the masjid. His masjid had multiple doors. He said, close every door leading to the masjid, except the door of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. All of those were indications from Rasulullah that went to show that Abu Bakr should be the leader after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But no one would understand that except the one who was gifted with knowledge. Surface people, the people who look at issues on the surface, they just think it's an issue. He likes Abu Bakr. He wants to make it easy for Abu Bakr to access the masjid. So he left his door open. That's the regular people. But the scholars of the religion who have the deep knowledge, not esoteric knowledge, some special knowledge for some special people. No, they have the ability to see inside of the essence of an issue. Those scholars of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they understood. This is the Prophet's way of telling us that Abu Bakr should be the leader after he dies, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, and may Allah, the Most High, be pleased with Abu Bakr. So as it relates to the Muslim, and as it relates to his position with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he should know, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is called the Siddiq because of an incident that we want to share with you. But before I deal with that incident, Abu Bakr's name was Abdullah. His name was Abdullah. Before he was even a Muslim, his father, Abu Quhafa, whose name was Uthman, called him Abdullah. A proof that the Arabs believed in Allah before Islam. They just had idols that they thought would help them to reach to Allah. So his name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. His name is Abdullah ibn Uthman. And his father's kunya is Abu Quhafa. In the tremendous story of Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, Rasulullah told the people that Allah Ta'ala took him. He rode the animal called the Baraq, and he went from Mecca, from the home of Hani, all the way to Bayt al-Maqdis, to Jerusalem. And this issue is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra in the Quran. Tremendous incident. He didn't fly an airplane. It had nothing to do with cabin pressure in the airplane. He was on an animal and he went all the way there. At Bayt al-Maqdis, he made the salat and he led all of the imams, all of the other prophets and messengers in salat, all of them, from Adam all the way to Jesus. He was the imam. And from there, he went to the seven heaven and passed that to the Sidr al-Muntaha, where he took the salat from Allah directly. And then he came back. And he began to tell the people in Mecca last night, I went all the way to Bayt al-Maqdis in one night. The people said, okay, we got you now, Muhammad. We caught you out there now, because this thing that you're saying right now is definitely a miraculous thing that anyone with his right mind is never going to believe it. So the non-Muslims started to go around to certain Muslims saying, did you hear what Muhammad is saying? Muhammad said that he went to Jerusalem last night and came back in one night. There were certain Muslims who apostated. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to complete this story of why Abu Bakr is called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when we come back from this short break, inshallah. Be sure to try to make it back with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Islam 101.
Remember, Inside Huda is a program specially designed for you, the viewers. A program in which I'll be taking you behind the scenes to see the making of episodes, to meet the presenters, the preparers, and all those who are in charge of keeping Huda TV the best Islamic channel. Today's show is all about one special program from a very special presenter, Inspirations.
Islam 101.
Welcome back to the second aspect of the virtues of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. As-Siddiq, which means the most truthful one. The one who has the most faith, the most iman, the one who believes the most. Why was Abu Bakr given this particular nickname? It was a nickname that was given to him by Rasulullah himself. May Allah be pleased with the Prophet and the Messenger of Al-Islam, and may his salutations of peace and blessings forever be upon him. The Prophet traveled by Allah's permission from Mecca to Jerusalem, to Bayt al-Maqdis, in an incident that is known as Al-Isra. So the Isra, like the Surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Isra, the Isra is the night journey, to go out at night. He traveled, he was taken from Mecca to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, he had the opportunity of meeting with all of the prophets and the messengers. Adam, Noah, Idris, Moses, Jesus, Abraham. And they're all brothers, and they're all on the same religion. So he led them in the prayer. He led them in the prayer that the Muslims pray, the way the Muslims pray. And all of them were behind the Prophet. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him forever. After the Isra was completed, he went from Jerusalem all the way to the seven heavens, where he was given the commandments of the prayer, and he saw a number of other things that transpired in the heavens. On each heaven, he had an opportunity to meet certain prophets. He prayed with all of the prophets in Bayt al-Maqdis, in the Masjid of the Muslims, the third most sacred place in al-Islam. And at the same time, when he went up into the heavens, he also met prophets on different levels. All of that is in the life that we call in al-Islam as al-Hayatul Barzakhiyah, the life that only Allah knows the reality of how it is. But those issues are easy for Allah. Anyway, when Rasulullah came back and he woke up the next day, he had the nerve and the audacity and the strength to tell people the truth and to say, this is what happened to me last night. This is what I did. Which goes to show you the level of strength as a person that the Prophet must have had. Because the normal person would have been afraid of what the censorship of the people was going to naturally be. So he had to say it. It wasn't permissible for him to ever hold back anything that he was ordered to say, no matter what harm it was going to bring to himself, no matter what was going to be said about him or to him, because he is the muballigh anillah. His job is to explain the message, and it's Allah's responsibility to guide who he wants to guide and to allow people to be affected the way he wants them to be affected. So he had a lot of strength. And in order to give da'wah to Allah, to call people to Allah, you have to have certain levels and amounts of bravery. You can't be a coward as a Muslim. And everyone has to give da'wah to Allah, call to the religion. When the non-Muslims heard that Muhammad, Rasulullah, was making this claim, some of them really thought, now we have him. Now we really have heard something from him that's going to cause us to be in a position to get his followers to abandon him. So they started to go around to the different companions and they started to ask them, did you hear what Muhammad is claiming, that he went to Jerusalem one night? And one night, and he came back in the same night. When some of the people heard that, they apostated from the religion of al-Islam. They left the religion. When the people came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who had not heard of the story yet, they said to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, do you hear what your friend is saying? Abu Bakr said, what is he saying? They said, your friend is claiming that he went to Jerusalem last night, and he came back in the same night. And you know, Abu Bakr, that's a journey that takes from 3 to 6 months under normal conditions. Do you believe that, Abu Bakr? Abu Bakr asked him, did he really say that? They said, he is saying that, and you're going to hear it. Abu Bakr said, if he said it, then I believe it, because I believe in that which is greater than that. I believe in what is more miraculous than that. I believe that he tells us that Allah reveals his speech to him during the night and during the day. That God Almighty, the Creator, he reveals his actual speech, the Quran, on him during the day and the night. Now that is a miracle. And that miracle is easier and it's lesser. That miracle is greater than him going to Jerusalem and coming back in the same night. When the Prophet heard about the mawqif or the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he called him as-siddiq, the truthful one, the one who believes. It's not just truthful, the one who is truthful, it is the one who is the opposite of a takdhib, the one who is mukadhib. He really, really, really never denies. He totally, absolutely believes in every big thing and small thing that comes to him from Allah and comes to him for the messenger of Allah. And that is a lesson for every Muslim. That's a lesson for every Muslim. Certain people in the world today, they have some beliefs about who God is and about who God isn't and what God does and what God doesn't do. And they're not shy and they're not embarrassed to tell the world what they believe. They're not shy and they're not embarrassed. Even though as a Muslim, personally, if I were to hear some of those things, I would say that's impossible. And it doesn't make sense. And how could it be? But the point is the way that they have the strength to say, I believe in this and I believe in that. So I just want to say, as a Muslim, and I say this to any and every Muslim, don't be a person who's shy to talk about the miracles of Al-Islam. That doesn't mean that you should talk about these miracles when it's going to make a bigger problem and people don't understand a religion. They get caught up into the miracles and what you're saying. They're not on that level to appreciate and understand. But what I am saying is, be strong. Have some izzah. This is about your faith. And it's easy for Allah to do whatever He wants to do. Back to the issue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. From the virtues of Abu Bakr is that Abu Bakr took some positions in al-Islam at critical times that actually served to protect and to maintain the religion of al-Islam on the road that it was going, where had he not taken those positions, there would have been some serious ramifications against the ummah, the nation, the community. One of the very first ones was the fact that after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the death of Rasulullah caused many people not to know what to do. But it was Abu Bakr who came on that day and who put the points where they had to be. He crossed the T's and he dotted the I's and he helped to establish the people firmly on the religion. He was the imam by himself. He was the jama'at on that day. He was the group, the jama'at. Similar to it are the group of people who were Muslims living in the desert. After the death of Rasulullah, these people said, we believe in Allah, we believe in Muhammad, we believe in Salat, we believe in Zakat, we believe in Hajj, we believe in Fasid Ramadan, but we're not going to give any more of our money for the Zakat, for the poor dude. We're not paying any more of our money. We're going to do with our money what we want to do with our money. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I swear by Allah, I'm going to declare war against these people. If they used to give Rasulullah their money and they give me that same money, but they hold back just a small portion of something they used to give him, I'm going to declare war on them. Some of the companions, all of them, were not in agreement with Abu Bakr. Ya Abu Bakr, how can you fight people? They say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, Wallahi, the people who reject giving the zakat, who reject this pillar of al-Islam, they're not from the religion of al-Islam. And then Allah opened the breast, opened the chest of the other companions. Abu Bakr was the jama'ah on that day, even though he was by himself. He was the one who the truth was with. Another example of that is, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he died, he sent an army out. And at the head of the army was Usama ibn Zayd, Usama the son of Zayd. Usama was a young lad who had reached the age of 17, 18, 19. He was the leader over grown men, 40, 50, 60. He was the leader over some of the eminent personalities from the Arabs. And Usama's father was an ex-slave. He was a mullah. And Usama was a dark-skinned person. All of the reasons of why people should have hated him and not been in support of his being the leader. The Prophet died before the army was sent out. So the army was affected with the catastrophe of the death of the Prophet as well. All of the companions advised Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, don't send the army out. When the people in the desert, in the surrounding area, when they hear that Rasulullah has died, all of our enemies are going to train their swords and their knives and their arrows on the community, and we're going to need the army here to protect us. Abu Bakr, being a person of the sunnah, being an imam of the sunnah, hold on to my sunnah with your molars, bite onto it, don't put it in your pocket. Don't put it in your jacket and hang the jacket up. The thief comes and he steals your jacket. Don't hide it under your pillow. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnat al khulafa al rashidin. He said, well, addu alayha bin nawajib. Hold on to this sunnah with your teeth. That's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr told those companions, hey, I would never untie a knot that Rasulullah tied. He tied this knot of this army going out. You think I'm going to come and untie it? No, we're going to send that army. When the army went out, the non-Muslims, the enemies of Islam, who were surrounding Medina, they saw the army and they said, wow, qiyas, they said, analogy, for those who were with us in our class for the analogy. They said, look how big the army is. Why would they send an army at this particular time? They're only sending an army out because they must have more people back in their city prepared and ready to protect the city of Medina. That's from the tremendous siyasa of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the politics of Abu Bakr. The scholars in the past, from the companions and the righteous in the past, they were the ones who used to lead the Muslims. They were the ones who were making decisions for the Muslim nation. And that's why we say and we give advice to every Muslim brother and every Muslim sister, and also to non-Muslims who are interested about knowing this religion, go to those people who have knowledge of this religion. Take them as the example to ask and to come to know what is al-Islam saying. So those are some of the examples of the virtues of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. He was the Jama'ah on that day. And why do I keep calling him the Jama'ah or the body of Muslims, even though he was by himself? It's because of something that I want to share with you, brothers and sisters, especially. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, concerning the Jama'ah, the Jama'ah is the body of Muslims. We are a group of people. You have to remain with the body of Muslims, the Jama'ah. But what is the Jama'ah? Is it just a bunch of people together? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, the Jama'ah is the haq, walau kunta wahdik. The Jama'ah is the truth, even if you're on the truth by yourself. No one else is with you on that particular truth. In that issue, you are the Jama'ah. Don't be with the people just to be with the people. So Abu Bakr was the Jama'ah. He was the truth, was with him in those particular circumstances, and that's a lesson to us. Don't be with the people just because of the numbers. Be with the truth wherever it goes. So we're going to stop here, and there's much more that can be said and that should be said. Go back and read some of the books of history, some of the books that talk about the men who were around Rasulullah, and remember, the sunnah is to love Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu more than you love anyone else from the companions of Rasulullah. And we're going to stop there, asking Allah to show his favor upon us and upon all of the companions of Rasulullah. Hope to see you in the next episode, inshallah.